You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading for today is 2 Timothy 2:15. Many of you know it from memory. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Leland, come share some from the word of God with us today.
It's always good to be back here. And you might have just witnessed probably what is the greatest ministry in the world, and that's the kids. Every other ministry that I know about, and we worked, as you know, with inmates and their families, and we send missionaries to various countries, and we work with the unlearned, and we work with the street people, and we work with those in poverty. But all of those type of ministries, as a rule, are trying to bring people back. We're trying to get them back in line, as it were. Kids' ministry is preventive. It keeps them from going to the place where you got to bring them back. And we usually put kids' ministry kind of low on the totem pole, but I'm pretty much of the percent. Suggested that. He said, suffer little children to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of heaven. He would reach down to, and the disciples at one time wanted to get rid of them. We're prone to push the kids back, and Christ said no. In fact, he picked one up. He did hands-on ministry with children. The difference is their preventive ministry while others are remedial ministry. We're in an unusual time, and I want to just visit with you a little bit about some of the things that's going on in our country and in our time, and I'm amazed fairly often at how little we really know about God's program sometime. In our Tuesday night Bible class, and we're studying the book of Revelation, and one of the ladies came a couple of weeks ago. It happened to fall on the 11th, and then that night she said, I know you're going to tell us what these things mean. And I said, no. I don't have any been on this, other than the fact that we in America may be called upon to see if we really practice what we preach. We do everything, we interpret everything from the headlines too often. You notice that? We kind of lean that way. I don't know if y'all had this up here, but we had some people circulating a deal by Nostradamus. Goodness. One of the guys in, we were in prison, and one of the guys, he said, man, have you seen that? That's fascinating. I said, Nostradamus was a false prophet. He said, what? He said, well, he got this. I said, I don't care. Bible said, if you miss any of them, you're a false prophet. You got to have 100%. Then I got an email and I got four or five of these, and it was supposedly showing a picture of Satan and all of this. Now I don't know about you, but I'm not sure what he looked like. I don't know if I could identify him if he walked in, because the Bible says that he's going to be pretty smooth. He will not have horns and a tail. And I'm kind of reminded, because I come from a little Texas town, and I can remember, you know, a lot of folks, they would misread things. One farmer, you know, said he saw in the clouds PC, And that meant to preach Christ. He just left his plow and said, I'm called to preach. Wife sent him back out there. She said, that means plant corn. But we have people that operate off of the emotional thing. Years ago, I run across this, and I didn't know where to put it. That was before, you know, you could save it on the computer. Then I can't remember where I saved it. But this was prior to that. But I happened to run in. I ran into a friend, and he said, I will never forget that deal that you gave me, that you read to me about that guy called to preach. And I said, do you have a copy of that? I said, I don't know where mine is. And I love that story. And it's about, this could have happened in the little town that I grew up in, but this guy said he was called to preach. And so the church, we used to call them pulpit committee. I don't think they call them that anymore. But anyway, they called him in to ask him some questions, and they asked him, they said, Sam, can you read? He said, no. And they said, can you write? And he said, no. But he said, my wife can read or write a little bit. And they said, do you know the Bible? And he said, from lid to lid, I know that Bible. And they said, how many books in the Bible? He said, two, New Testament, Old Testament. And they said, which part of the Bible do you like best? He said, the book of parables. That's my favorite one. And they said, would you tell us your favorite parable? And he said, yes, I would. He said, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. He said, once upon a time, there was a guy going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They robbed him and left him half dead, and thorns grew up and choked that man, and he had no money. And the Queen of Sheba came along and gave him 1,000 talents of gold and 100 changes of raiment, and he jumped into a chariot and drove furiously. As he was driving under a great oak tree, his hair tangled in one of the branches, and it left him hanging there. While he was hanging there, the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. One night, while he was hanging there, his wife Delilah came along, cut off his hair, and he fell to the stony ground. It started to rain. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and he hid himself in a cave. And when he came out, a man came along and said, come and have supper with me. And he said, I married a wife and cannot come. He went on to Jericho, and he saw Queen Jezebel sitting high in a window. And she laughed at him, and he said, throw her down. And they threw her down. And he said, throw her down some more. And they threw her down 70 times times 7. And with their fragments, and they picked up 12 baskets full. Whose wife shall she be in the day of judgment? Amen. Now, that's kind of the way I think we have some of the things with the Bible. I know that's humorous, but unfortunately, we look, you know, people, and Joe mentioned this, they talk about the wars and the rumors of wars. Well, and I know, and if you go look at your Bible, when Christ said about that, he said, and the time is not yet, when you hear this. This is not the end time. Now, I'm not saying we couldn't get there. What I'm saying is that there's things that are going to take place before we have the things that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. War or the threat thereof will not lead us into the great tribulation period as mentioned. In fact, all the book of Revelation, but except about the first 10 verses, deal with a future time, a time that's still future. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He didn't mean that I got the Holy Ghost on Sunday. That's not what he's talking about. Throughout the Bible, it talks about the Lord's Day, or the Day of the Lord. And that was a day of wrath. And from that time on, John is caught forward in a time that's still yet future. And he talks about the things that will happen. Some of them have been talked about before in the Old Testament. Some of them Jesus talked about. But he said, before this happens, there's going to be peace. We find in the book of Ezekiel time and again where it said Israel dwelleth safely. Israel chapter 38, if you want the verses, verse 8, 11, 14, and 16, and I'm going to hurry through some of this just because of time. But it said that Israel dwelleth safely in a city without walls. Now listen to me carefully, and you know this. This is a matter of history. Israel has not dwelt safely since that time. Israel didn't dwell safely. It was destroyed in 70 A.D. by Titus. It became a nation in 1948 again, and it has never dwelt safely. You've heard it said, but the thing that happened at the World Trade Center is something that Israel, in their little land, lives with every day. They see these things going on constantly. We're not used to those things. Paul said, when they say, peace, peace, then come a sudden destruction. There must be a peace. There must be a covenant of peace signed with the nation of Israel and peace brought to the Middle East. And it's not happening, as you well know, as of today. Now, it could, and probably will, the war or the threat thereof would prepare a way for a Superman, as it were, to come in and solve the problems in the Middle East. We used to think that those places never affected us. We see that they do. We were attacked from people from the Middle East. They do affect us. I'd like to tell you that it wasn't going to get worse before it gets better, but I'm not sure about that. I'm not a prophet or a prophet's son. But again, we have been a very spoiled group of Christian people. We've never had to do much for our testimony. We've never been called upon to sacrifice very much. We live in a time when people spend more on Cokes, soft drinks, than many people have for the month. We're a very spoiled people along that line. But somebody, and it will be a man. If you look at the book of Revelation, and when it talks about in Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, he said it will be a mark of a man, not just the mark of man. Many people have talked about the number 666 being the number of man because it comes one short of seven. It's man's number, but if you go back and look, you'll see that it's a man. There's a specific man who could be alive today who is going to come forth and set up peace in the Middle East. Peace has got to be set up first. Let me tell you another reason why. You remember that the Antichrist, and this talked about Daniel, this talked about by Christ in the book of Matthew, and it's talked about by Paul, that he must go into the Holy of Holies and claim to be God and break his covenant with the nation of Israel. Scripture says that will be in the midst of Daniel's 70th week, or in a 3.5 year period after the covenant is made with Israel, because the week that Daniel talked about was referred, became 7 years. So in the middle of that time, the Antichrist will set himself up. Now, if that is true, and I have no reason to doubt that, Daniel said it, Christ said it, and Paul said it, then there's some things that have got to take place. One, the nation of Israel's worship must be restored. Now, did you realize that Israel has the only religion that's incomplete? Christianity has Christ to worship, the Muslims, and we can complete our worship anytime. There's nothing to be done because Christ has done it all for us. The Muslims have their religion and they can practice it to the nth degree, especially in their own countries. And in a place like America, we've allowed them to do that. But Israel has an incomplete religion. they do not have the sacrificial system. That would complete their religion, to come in and sacrifice the lambs like they did at the time of Christ and until they were destroyed in 70 A.D. They've not had that. Now, why do they not have that? Most people talk about them not having a temple. But the truth of the matter is they could do that in a tabernacle. The tabernacle contained the Holy of Holies. They could put that up this week. And with construction methods like they are, and with the high-tech machinery that we have, the temple could go up. They said, well, the problem is that the Dome of the Rock sets that. No, the problem is that if Israel had a temple today, they still can't have a worship because they have no priesthood. And in order to be a priest, you must be a descendant of Aaron, not just a Levite. And the truth of the matter is that there's not one Jew today who can prove what tribe he came from. And Joe mentioned the return of Elijah, many seem to think that Elijah will be the one that can do that, that can find, because maybe somewhere in the ruins, but somewhere there is the proof. Find those records of who descended from who. Many of you, when you read the Old Testament, especially First and Second Chronicles, which is probably, I've never had anybody say my favorite book is First Chronicles, because it goes into names and generations that we can't pronounce, and I just call them all Butch and go on. But they'll be used again. God did not give us that word for nothing. He didn't give us that to bore us. Now, right now, it doesn't affect our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it will affect the generations of the nation of Israel. Somewhere that God will use somebody to bring that back, for the nation of Israel can have a priesthood. When they do, then they will be offering the sacrifice, and the high priest then will go once into the holy place every year, like they did at the time of Christ, and he's talked about in the book of Hebrews, and offer the sacrifice for himself and the people. Now, how do we know this is going to happen? Because the Bible said that Satan would walk into the holy place and claim to be God. Look in 2 Thessalonians with me, if you will. And we could do this in the book of Matthew chapter 24. We can do this in Daniel. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's just begin with verse 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by the word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, but that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the man of perdition. Now, notice, and we're talking about when Christ comes back to earth. Now, let me interject here that nothing has to take place for you and I to appear in glory. We can be called home before the service is over. We're not waiting for anything to happen. What we're talking about is end time, as I mentioned in the beginning. When we see these things, we think Battle of Armageddon and this type of thing. Notice, he said, one, the Son of Man's going to be revealed. Now, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, what? Setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Notice what's got to happen for him to do this. He's got to be in the temple of God. Tabernacle could go up this week as far as just building time, because the Holy of Holies is what's important in a tabernacle. It went from one place to the... it would not take long to build a temple. But then, but who is going to do the worship? Even if you had that, you've got the building, you don't have the worship, you don't have the priesthood. Those things must go into effect before this happened. Now then, and in the midst of that week, Daniel says, he'll walk out there and say, I'm God. And now here's when the Jewish people are going to have their hell on earth. This is why they will begin to flee. They know that. One thing that Israel has not done that they were so prone to do in the Old Testament, they have not gone into idolatry. And Israel will know when he says, I'm God. Now, we will not be here because we can't coincide with that worship. Suppose it Israel started that type of worship today. Let's just suppose in your mind, in thinking along that line, that somebody found out who the descendants of Aaron were in the tribe of Levi, and they could start them a priesthood. Or if nothing else, maybe that Urim and the Thurim come back out and they can cast those lots to see who is that priesthood. But they establish that priesthood and they begin to worship. That's not according to our worship. See, Paul said it this way. He said they are the elect of God, but they're enemies of the cross of Christ. On one hand, we need to pay attention to them. They're God's elect. And they figure in God's end time, don't take for granted that America does. See? I'm having kind of a running gun battle with a particular inmate who, he says America is a Christian nation, and that's something I want to get to. I'm going to leave some of this out. But before, most of the stuff that we read about in the book of Revelation, in the prophecy, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, before any of that's done, we've got to have Israel's worship restored. The priesthood must be restored so they can have their worship, so then Satan can interrupt it and say that he is God. Now, people have been just thrilled. One thrilling thing about it, ACLU hadn't raised their voice in 3 weeks. But don't think they're not still out there. Don't think for a minute that they've changed in their heart. I noticed on TV they were some protesters. People say, well, we don't want the bloodshed of innocent people. Well, we're a little late. We've already had about 6,000. War always gets innocent people. Let me tell you, the only way that this can be solved without innocent people being hurt, and you and I both know from the Word of God there's no innocent people anyway, but the only way would be for somebody to walk in to President Bush and said, the fellow I got with me here has been laden where you want me to put him. And then if they had him and the people that did this, then probably we'd have no other problem. You and I both know that's not going to happen. Things will get worse. Paul said in the last book he ever wrote, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're not the action of a Christian nation. This is what the fella keeps wanting to tell me. He said, we're a Christian nation. I said, a nation that's kicked God out of the school, out of their federal public school system, a nation that has recognized perversion as being okay, a nation that is taught that there is no God, that we just evolve, a nation that kills innocent babies, we're Christian? That's Christian? I got a letter from him this past week, and he said, I guess you would still say, out of the light that all that's happened, America is not a Christian nation. Now, let me tell you what he's talking about, and I think you know. But we've talked about God bless America. We've had public prayer all of a sudden. We've had prayer at the White House. And we've got people beseeching God. How many times have you heard the name Jesus Christ in all of this? To be a Christian nation, I must assume that we are followers of Christ. Not God as we understand Him. Not Yahweh. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad. Not Mother Earth or Mother Nature. Not some great power somewhere, but the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're so afraid we'll offend someone that we've made it so general. And I'm going to tell you, Christ laid down some zero tolerance situations. And one of them was when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot circumvent me with Mary. You cannot circumvent me with Mohammed. You cannot circumvent me with good conscience. You cannot circumvent me with Buddha. We're not in a situation that all roads lead to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. See, don't get carried away. Don't let your guard down. It'd be very easy to do some things, because we're a group of people, as I read the book of Revelation, it talked about three different things that a person must have to buy or sell. One of three: the name of the beast, the mark of the beast, or the number of his name, in Revelation chapter 13. But when you start touching our buying and selling, boy, you're hurting us. You notice how the people got upset about the stock market? I guess that's one good thing of being like white trash. Stock market went down, and it didn't affect my lifestyle at all. You know, we didn't know it. But see, when you affect our money, people, we better be praying, and we better be asking God for the guts and the strength and the courage to stand. How long He will allow His people in this, I do not know. He could call us home this very day. We could appear with Him in glory, as the Bible says. This very day, there are no signs that need to take place. But also, we could stay till that 11th hour before that peace treaty goes into effect. We'll not be here when Satan steps in there and says, I am God. And I don't think we're going to be here when that peace treaty goes into effect. So that means that there could be a lot of war and a lot of bloodshed, and it could be on our grounds like it was on September the 11th. Of all the times, we need to really turn to God. And we need to turn to God that gave his son for you and I, that Christ might be glorified. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, I know this kind of scattered gun. I know that didn't touch on a lot of the things that kind of wanted to. But Father, in my confusing it, may people be clear on one thing, that now is the time to put Christ in the forefront of our lives. Oh, Father, it becomes so easy as your people to get involved in so many other things. And we forget about the souls of people around us. We forget about what you've done for us. We forget that we belong to you. So Father, help us. Help us to be witnesses for you in this time. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to not be deceived, which is one of Satan's greatest ploys. Help us to study to show ourselves approved. A workman. Father, a workman, not a scholar, but a workman. That we'd rightly divide your word and that we would not be ashamed. Thank you for an opportunity. And Father, help us to be more dedicated than we've ever been, for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.